I want to tell you a story about Earl and Charlotte. Earl and Charlotte were a married couple, and they would always go to the county fair every year. And Charlotte would always tell Earl, "Earl, I really want to take a helicopter ride," because they had those at the fair. And he said, she said, "It's only $50. His response was always, "$50 is $50. So never let her go. Year after year after year after year, same conversation over. "It's only $50. $50 is $50. Well, many, many years later, they had this same conversation, but the helicopter pilot overheard them talking and said, "You know what I'll do? If you can go on this helicopter ride and not make a sound throughout the whole ride, I will take you for free." They said, "Okay, we'll do it." So they got on the helicopter, and I mean, this pilot did maneuvers that would make your head spin. He was zigzagging around doing, I don't know if you can do flips on a helicopter, but he was doing all sorts of stuff. And they did not say a single word. He landed that helicopter and he said, "Wow, I can't believe you didn't say a single word, Charlotte." And he goes, she goes, "Well, I was going to say something when Earl fell out a few minutes back, but you know, $50 is $50. In 2013, there was a study done on the bridges in America by the Transportation for America Commission, and they found that 1 in 9 bridges are structurally deficient. Now, bridges are evaluated on a scale of 1 to 9, 9 being in great shape and 5 being fair and 1 being terrible. But in addition to these ratings they give, they found that 18,000 bridges in the United States are classified as fracture critical. Fracture critical means that there's a steel member in tension or there's a tension element whose failure would cause the bridge to collapse. That makes you feel good as you drive, right? 18,000 bridges in that state. Now, these bridges have no redundancy in them. And so that means if one part fails, then the whole thing will come crashing down. In order to keep these bridges safe, they do safety checks every 2 years, and the inspections are done on the bridge's major components, the bridge deck, the superstructure, and the substructure. And as I was thinking about this and my future trips on the interstate, I was thinking, you know, as a follower of Christ, we also need to inspect ourselves on a regular basis to make sure that we are following Christ in the way that we're supposed to be, to evaluate ourselves and to see our inconsistencies. And I wondered how many Christ followers would be classified as structurally deficient. And as I asked that question, I wonder, how would I know that? And maybe that's what you're asking now, is how would you know if you're structurally deficient? And the one simple question that you can ask yourself is, it's a simple question, but a very complicated answer. Are you being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ? Because if you say no, then there's a problem with your structure. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." See, as followers of Christ, we're not to copy the world, but instead we're to be transformed by the power of God's Spirit living within us. And so if we look at our lives and our lives are copies of everyone else around us, then perhaps that's an indication that we are not living into the calling of living like Jesus. Listen to this passage again in two different versions to get a fuller sense of what Paul is talking about in Romans. Don't live any longer the way this world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. Then you will be able to test what God wants for you, and you will agree that what He wants is right. His plan is good and pleasing and perfect. And now in the Message version, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So let's take a minute and inspect our lives. Are we living like culture says we should be living, or are we living more the way that Jesus has called us to be? To be more like Jesus means to allow our faith and our relationship with God into all areas of our life. Everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we are as individuals needs to be influenced by that relationship we have with God. Everything. Now that's not easy to do, is it? Because we compartmentalize things. Just this year, I became co-president of the Home and School Association, the PTA, if you will, at the kids' schools. And actually, Amanda McCall is my co-president with me. And we're having a lot of fun, but as I was going through my prayer time, not too long after our first meeting, I realized that I wasn't praying about home and school at all. And I thought, that's really odd, because that's taking up a big chunk of my time and my energy now. Yet, it's not a religious organization by any stretch of the imagination. So I had compartmentalized that into my non-religious world. And so I never thought, gosh, I need to be praying for this. Even as a pastor who's supposed to be, it's all about God, not just the things we do that are, you know, officially about God. It was hard for me to not compartmentalize that away. Now, obviously, since then, I've been praying for it, and it's been doing great, and we're having a lot of fun. But it just goes to show you how easy it is to compartmentalize our lives into church and religion, and then not. The fact is that we do that all the time. And we need to make sure that we're not doing it. I was talking with one of my best friends the other day, and he casually made a comment that he said that church and politics should be kept separate. And I love this guy to death. He's one of my best friends. And I said, while I agree with you in part, I also have to disagree with you in that as well. And as I was researching this study this week, there came an article from San Diego from Immaculate Conception Catholic Church. And this church put out in their bulletin over the last several weeks, one bulletin said that Hillary Clinton's campaign is directed and influenced by Satan. And in another bulletin insert that they put it, they wrote that it is a mortal sin to vote Democrat. And immediately after death, the souls of those who die in a state of mortal sin descend into hell. Now you laugh, but this was someone seriously putting this in their Catholic bulletin. Now the diocese rejected the statement as soon as they found out about it and as soon as it blew up all over social media and said, this is not the Catholic Church teaching, and so we cannot, I don't want you to think that we're saying that all Catholics believe this. But in this case, I would definitely side with my friend and say, this is a place where the church definitely needs to not be saying this about politics. This is a place that the church has overstepped the line. And in the United States, we can't even as a church or a nonprofit even legally endorse a specific candidate or party or issue. But while I disagree with the way this church did it, the fact is that we cannot compartmentalize our lives into faith and politics, or faith and work, or faith and my relationships. We are to be transformed by the Holy Spirit, not just in church, but also when we talk about voting, when we talk about political activism, when we talk about doing things for the poor and loving people. The Greek word translated in that verse, to be conformed, means to stop being molded by the external and fashions of this age, but undergo a deep inner change by the qualitative renewing of your spirit. Such a transformation can be wrought only by the Holy Spirit. So to be transformed by the Holy Spirit is not just to be transformed in one aspect of our lives. It is a total transformation. It's an extreme makeover, Holy Spirit edition. It's total. How we vote, how we act, how we are with one another, how we love one another. That has to be influenced by our faith. Now we all need to be spending time in prayer and in personal Bible study and learning, constantly learning about who God is and remembering what He did for us on the cross and what He promises us for the present life. Now that doesn't mean that we're all going to agree, certainly, on candidates. Even issues of life, marriage, and sexuality are going to have a wide spectrum of Christ followers on that spectrum. And that's okay. We need to recognize that there are people on all of those spectrums that are truly followers of Christ. You can't say that just one political party or one issue defines whether or not someone is a follower of Christ or not. Being a follower of Christ has to do with believing that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and is our Savior. And we put our faith and trust in Him that He will redeem us in the end. That's the essential gospel. The rest of the things that we disagree with are disagreements. And certainly there are issues that I feel strongly about. But just because we disagree doesn't mean that one of us is more of a Christian than the other. We need to recognize that the way we were and the way we acted before Christ must be different than the way we are now. Being a follower of Christ means that we follow Christ and not ourselves. Peter says it this way: "So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. You must be holy in everything you do, not just some things that you do, in everything. And we have to not put our hope in politicians or political parties or nations or other people even, because all of those things will come to an end. All of those things will fail us. We have to put our hope in the one who died on the cross for our sins, who came from heaven, became Emmanuel, God with us, who loves us more than anything else in the world. We can't allow ourselves to slip back into our old ways of living, because when we go to satisfy our own desires, we are pushing aside the desires of Jesus. And the desires of Jesus are what should be our primary focus, and our primary energy should be spent on becoming more and more like Jesus. Now, some say that it's foolish to try to live like God. It's foolish to follow God's wisdom. But Scripture even tells us that that's going to happen. Listen to this passage from Paul in 1 Corinthians. "The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God in His wisdom saw to it that the world would never know Him through human wisdom, He used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven. and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. We must trust in God's wisdom, even if it appears foolish. Even if it appears foolish to the rest of the world that we as followers of Christ are trying to live our lives in a way that mirrors the way that Jesus lived. Even if we're mocked for that, even if we're said, you're wasting your time, just have fun. Just go with the flow. Instead, we say, no, we are following God's wisdom. And we are going to allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and transform us from the inside. Because it's not all the people around us that we need to fear. It is God that we need to fear and respect. Human wisdom will come to an end, but God's wisdom will last for eternity. I want you to take a minute now, and we're going to do a bridge inspection of your life. Are you living your life in a holy and godly way? Are you making decisions based on faith? Are the values that you have the same values that you would find in Jesus? If you answer no to any of those questions, then you would be classified as fracture critical. And you need to work on studying and learning and conforming to be the man or woman that God has called you to be. In what areas of your life you need to submit? Ask the Lord, where am I not conforming to you and your will? Ask him to reveal that to you now. And now as we close, I want you to listen to these words from the Apostle John. Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our accomplishments and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Will you pray with me?
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas, 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.